Thrishni, thank you so much for joining us and welcome to the show.
Sangha, thanks very much.
So this is such an integral discussion, and with Women's Month and also Women's Day in the context of South Africa being something that is quite contentious, depending on which side you're looking at it, we're looking specifically at the messaging and how various brands get it right and get it wrong. And I think it's important to start firstly with the background, and I love how you did that in your article that you wrote in Biz Community. How important is it to have the facts before we go and market, before we write up all of our calendar plans and content plans and strategies?
Oh, it's such a great observation. I think when we look at things like strategy, that is the first step. When you're coming up with a strategy for Women's Day, one of the things that a firm like Chloe will do is that we'll sit down and we'll say, does this cause, does this purpose-driven messaging, and it's not just Women's Day, it's around any kind of messaging that you want to do around social justice or you want to jump onto a key conversation, you've got to stop and ask yourself, does it align with our brand? Do we talk about this? Can we talk about it authentically? Because if you can't, then maybe this isn't the point where you jump into a conversation. Maybe this is the point where you listen as a brand, or you amplify the voices of others. But if you sit down and you have that thought about, if I'm looking at Women's Day, for instance, is there a way that I can make this relevant to my audience? Is there a way that I can make this relevant to my work? Then absolutely you can go ahead and do that. But that first question is really important, because what you find is brands and organizations sometimes, and not always, because we are looking at the ones that are getting it right, but sometimes decide, oh, it's Women's Day and we need to put something out. So let's get a quote. Let's find something to put in the content plan just for the sake of putting it in the content plan and jumping onto the hashtag. But it's really important, in order to avoid some of those pitfalls, to ask yourself, what am I bringing to this conversation?
Thrishni, something that has been implored is representation. And if a certain person, if you've got the diversity, we can lean in on those differences, and we can even stop the disaster and PR management crisis before it starts. How important is representation, and how do we support it in a way where it doesn't become an afterthought or just a tick in the box?
Oh, that's critical. So when we see these pitfalls happen, I suspect that if you drill down, this idea of having representation, and not just at the level of the writers, but also in the level of the leadership of your organization, is particularly important. Because what happens when you have diverse voices at the table is, if you're about to put out something that is tone deaf, that might be offensive, you have a team that is able to look at it from different angles. And so that issue of representation is absolutely critical when it comes to, particularly if you want to get behind purpose-driven messaging. Because recently, and you'll know, in probably since the advent of social media, we've seen more and more brands wanting to jump onto talking about things beyond just their area, wanting to get involved in the big conversations. But you've got to do it with, like you're saying, the representation, with the research,
yes,
and with an understanding of who you are and what you stand for.
I love that. And this will make you much more aware of, what would you say if you are in a team and you've got a boss that says, it's Women's Day, let's put a post out, and all of those considerations. And, you're a junior to maybe mid-senior person in the team, and you think, hey, boss, this is the research that we've come up with. We think yes, we think no. How do we support it in a way where, I don't know, that it doesn't put you in peril, that gives you enough confidence to do that? I mean, you don't want to say no to your boss.
Oh, no, totally. And the thing is, that's where the company culture is really important. And that is something that if you're a junior on a team, you've got to feel comfortable,
yes,
speaking out. And if you don't feel comfortable speaking out, you're unlikely to raise your hand and say, I don't think that particular graphic that we did is going to land right. So I think it goes beyond the responsibility of the individual with Sangha. I think it really goes, it becomes something about company culture. And it's, you should be, if you're in a company, you should feel free to speak up, because and your company should welcome it. And, you know, my company definitely does. But it's something that you've got to create that space and say, if anyone sees a problem with this, please do raise your hand, because it's good for all of us if we're having these conversations.
So it has to come from the top. You can't just expect the staff or the workforce to have this sort of company culture if it doesn't come specifically and an intentional way. How do we do it to make sure that we intentionally and it actually works out from how we firstly process and produce and things come out of the company?
So I think perhaps the first thing is what you mentioned, that it's got to come from the top. You've got to have a company leadership that is diverse in itself. So if you're fortunate to be in a company like that, and I am, then you do have that. The second thing is to have the kind of structures in your teams where you invite input and you invite feedback from your team. So it's not a case of please produce this piece of work and then it goes through the processes and then here we're going to publish it. It's that case of that when we look at strategy at Flow, one of the things we do is we have that meeting in the beginning where you sit down as a team and say, well, look at this piece of work and let's look at this organization and let's look at what they're trying to say. And then that timeliness of something like Women's Day comes up and then you're able to say, how would this organization or this company tie into that? There are a few campaigns that really have worked. And so one example that I mentioned in the article is the importance of storytelling. So Marupeng, for instance, the visitor center for the Cradle of Humankind, was Flow's first client. And they're still our client 15 years down the line. And they did a particularly powerful campaign where they looked at the stories of women in the sciences around paleoanthropology. So, you know, this has to do with the origin story of humanity itself. And one thing we know about sciences is that traditionally it's a very male-dominated field.
Yes.
And so for Women's Day, it was about talking to everyone that uncovers the science, that the researchers and the scientists, the women in those spaces and the tour guides that will take you through the different sites and attractions and really finding out what makes them tick. And it was about understanding, you know, what got you into the science to begin with, but also what are the challenges you face. And so when you approach it from a point of storytelling, you don't run the risk of just blaring out a message and throwing that at your audience. It's about saying, you know, let's understand these individual stories, and the overall effect is something layered and nuanced.
Mm.
Because you're not saying it. It's a case of show and don't tell. So that kind of approach can be particularly useful when it comes to purpose-driven messaging.
I love how you talked about storytelling. Everyone loves a good story. And even as a boss, you need to be able to create imagination and foster that excitement amongst your employees to spark that creativity that aligns, of course, with the intrinsic values of the brand.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's important to remember that when we talk about brands and institutions and organizations, these are all made up of people.
Yes.
So from the brand to the, you know, the agency or the comms team that's working on it, all of these are people, and all of them have stories. And if you create a space where people feel free to share their stories, to talk about their different perspectives, then what you can emerge with is something very powerful. And it's not a bad thing I believe for brands to want to jump into this conversation. In fact, it can be a very positive thing. One of the things I'd like to point out is that this is probably the first time in history where issues like diversity and inclusion are appearing in the mainstream, where it's not just different pockets of people talking about it at different levels, where these conversations are happening in the mainstream. And if you want to do it authentically, then have the conversation, you know, before you get to publishing on social media, have it within your teams, have it with your clients, you know, have it at all levels of your company. So you understand when it's time to put out this campaign, it's coming from people and not you know, just a brand messaging, we need to get something out for Women's Day point of view.
I love the storytelling aspect and that we started with it. And then you've mentioned other aspects such as authenticity. And through those insights, we glean those, of course, from the data-driven insights. How do you use statistics? And we don't have some of the best statistics when it comes to women in South Africa, but how do you use these in a way that doesn't dilute it, isn't opportunistic, but does work in terms of how you present it?
So the statistics, as you say, are incredibly they can be incredibly powerful, and I think firstly you've got to choose the statistics that you want to highlight and that resonate with your brand. So if, for instance, you're a science driven brand, then the statistics you're going to look at are around science. But one example that I always like to go to is Interflora, which is a flower delivery service in the UK. And for International Women's Day, which is on the 8th of March this year, they put out this series of just the most striking graphics where they used flowers to represent the different statistics of the space. So, for instance, the number of CEOs that are women and the ratio where that represents, and they used different colors of flowers to show that statistic. And it was very striking, and I thought it was clever, because while they didn't shove down your throat that we're about flowers. In a way that was almost fun, but taking into account the seriousness of the statistic, they also reminded us what they do, as a company, and they're in this conversation. So, but it also was a striking and very visual way to talk about it. So, if you're going to use
statistics, guys, can you hear me?
It's worth taking that step back and thinking about clever and visual ways to talk about it. Because another thing is, you'll know this: the social media timeline moves so fast.
Yeah.
If there isn't something on there that catches your eye, you're unlikely to consume it at all.
Trishni Subramani is a head of training at Flow Communications, an independent integrated communications company. And we've been talking about getting messaging around Women's Day right. So, Trishni, if there are any digital marketers or any listeners out there who have been inspired by your conversation, of course, we are focusing on women, but anyone who has been inspired, and I think the challenges you might have faced and the lessons, what would your advice be to them? Where do they start? What should they be aware of? And how do they place themselves in a position to be as successful as you are?
Thanks very much, Rasanga. I think the key thing is to go back to the issues that you spoke about having a team that is diverse and where you're able to be quite outspoken, whichever level in the company you are. And then to ask yourself that all important question: what is it we're trying to say? If you're going to speak on behalf of a brand or a company or an institution, it's really important to figure out what is the message they're trying to get across, and then how does that tie into what everyone else is talking about? Because if you don't have those two pieces of the puzzle and you're not putting them together in a way that's relevant and in a way that makes sense, then you do run the risk of that kind of backlash or people just not consuming the information at all. So start with strategy is the advice that I would give.
Trishni, thank you so much for your time and all the best. We've been in discussion with Trishni Subramani about getting messaging around Women's Day right.